Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
To launch today's program, let's talk about communication skills. Good communication is so vital to building relationships and getting ahead in life, enjoying life. So how well do you communicate? It seems like it should be so easy, but so often emotions get in the way. We say one thing and wind up communicating another. But here's the good news. Esteemed author and psychotherapist Jude Bougeot assures us that effective communication boils down to four simple rules. Rule one, talk about yourself. Share what you feel, think, want, and need. Let the other person know where you're coming from. Rule two, stay specific. On the topic, your request, the reasons, never generalize. Rule three, be kind. Compassion fosters love and mutual respect. And rule four, perhaps the most important of all, simply listen. Seek to truly understand what others are saying, encouraging them to talk. You know, good communication skills work in the bedroom and in the boardroom, with your kids and with your coworkers, with your neighbors, and even with strangers you just met. Unfortunately, Jude says they're not that hard to master. They just take practice. And to learn a whole lot more about effective communication and your pathway to a healthier, happier way of life, I highly recommend Jude Bougeot's acclaimed book, Attitude Reconstruction, A Blueprint to Building a Better Life. And you can find it and a whole lot more on Jude's website, www.attitudereconstruction.com. And while there, check out Jude's upcoming 5-day Attitude Reconstruction workshop in beautiful British Columbia on August 9th through the 14th. Once again, that website address is attitudereconstruction.com. Would you like to discover a brand new way to possibly transform your life at middle age? What if you could dream your way to good health, career success, and joy of living in life's second half? Experts say all of us dream, but when you awake in the AM, do you remember what you dreamed about last month? And once you were wide awake, do your dreams slip from your mind? And for those dreams you do remember, do you quickly discard them as irrelevant because they seem silly or don't make any sense? Well, guess what? My guest today, Justina Lashley, urges us to pay attention to our dreams as important messages and to use them as a guide to a brighter future. In fact, Justina has written a brand new book called Wake Up to Your Dreams, Transform Your Relationships, Career, and Health While You Sleep. In her promo, she says, dreams will never take you off course from being uniquely the person you were born to be. Sounds great, doesn't it? Most intriguing, and certainly we'd all love to sleep our way to health, well-being, and career success, and it sounds like a dream come true. And Justina Lashley is founder and director of the Institute for Dream Studies, an internationally recognized organization that promotes understanding and value of dreams, and she's creator of Dream Synergy, a comprehensive process with proven results for uncovering the meaning of dreams and using them for positive personal transformation. And she's author of two earlier books, Honoring the Dream, a Handbook for Dream Group Leaders, and In My Dreams, a Creative Dream Journal. And she's appeared on numerous TV and radio programs and in USA Today and other publications. Hello, Justina. It's indeed an honor to have you here today, and we're wide awake to learn more about the value and potential of dreams.
Great. Roy, thank you for inviting me.
Well, let's begin with a little background. What events in your childhood and early adult life inspired you to make the study and understanding of dreams your life's work?
Yeah. As a child, I was always interested in my dreams and a very creative love fantasy, love playing with my dolls, love make-believe. But I grew up in a very analytical, mathematical oriented engineering family.
I said no fun. Just
no
kidding,
fun.
You engineers
well,
out there.
Well, there are positive aspects of that, too. But for someone like me, you know, I just was like, wow, you know, there's not much honoring of the dream and things. So I let go of some of that, certainly my dreams, and never understood the importance of dreams in my life until I was, you know, an adult and had actually raised my three daughters, and I was introduced to dreams. And, you know, I'd always questioned who I was and what my purpose was, all of these like life questions that we ask early in our lives as well as our midlife. So all these things were important to me. I had done a lot of reading. I had attended a lot of workshops trying to understand myself and my purpose in life.
Yes.
And it was when I was introduced to dreams and started working with my dreams that the answers really started coming. And so I am passionate about waking up other people to the dream.
Yeah. You know, we, like you say, you do all this self-study and pound your head against the outside knowledge, and yet maybe the answer was right inside in your sleep. And it seems like such a peaceful way to discover yourself. And to,
Well, I was going to say, I think, Roy, one thing that you just mentioned is so true and made such a difference for me, because I was always looking for outside. I was looking for someone else to tell me what I needed and what wanted, what my purpose was. And the truth of the dream was so important to me, that realization that I had the wisdom within. I never had realized that.
Well, in your book's preface, you inform that all of us have five or six dreams each night. Where do these dreams come from? How do they wind up in our consciousness as we sleep? That's always been fascinating.
Such a gift, isn't it? And I think about here, we're given this gift even in utero. You know, they're finding out the babies are dreaming before they're born. And so it's definitely a part of our human existence. So we're given this, and, you know, just like we breathe in our heartbeat, we dream. And I know that people often believe their dogs are dreaming before they believe they themselves are having these dreams, because they can see the dog acting out.
Yeah, I've seen our dog dreaming a few times.
No, it's a funny thing to watch, but they are going through that REM sleep. And there's so much research being done trying to understand the dream, trying to get some concrete answers to that major question you ask, where does it come from, why do we have it? But somehow, even though I'm involved in all of that and very interested in it, I think the dream is bigger than that, and maybe we aren't supposed to be able to answer all those analytical kinds of concrete things about the dream, but it's huge for our life.
Yeah, well, I've known people that tell me that they don't have dreams. Is that true for certain individuals, or are they just
not
fooling
really
themselves?
Yeah, I say it's not that you're not having dreams, but you're not remembering your dreams.
Yeah,
so that's tough for some people. And my mother, as a matter of fact, was in her late 80s before she even realized she was dreaming. She knew I was involved in this, but she came to hear a lecture that I was doing, and she, you know, that sort of piqued her unconscious that, oh, my goodness, she's taking time to pay attention. Maybe we'll make her aware of a dream. And she went back to her hometown, and the next day she called me and she said, you won't believe what I had last night. I remembered that I had a dream. And that was, I mean, you think
first
about
first one in 80 years, right?
Yeah, first one that she remembered. And then, you know, when people start remembering their dreams, they feel so regretful that they've missed all the ones that have been coming in their life. But
yeah, that's something we should never do, though, is regret what's past.
I know. That's why I encourage people. I was like, well, look, you're ahead of the game because now you're remembering. And you know, most people go through life never bringing their dreams to daylight.
Yeah. Well, why should I care about my dreams? So many of them are crazy or silly and don't seem to make any sense. You know?
Yeah, they are. I loved your introduction of that, of do we just toss them away? You know, they're so bizarre. They don't make sense. But dreams contain everything we need to know for our life. In every aspect of our life, we are born with that innate knowledge, that wisdom, and the dream is going to bring it forth. And if you look historically, you know, you look in the Bible, and where are people referencing to make decisions, major decisions for themselves or their larger communities? It's dreams, dreams and visions. That's where they went. And somehow we've lost that in our culture today. And some cultures, you know, still pay attention to dreams.
Yes,
and base
I know the Native Americans were very good at that.
Yes, and they really put that. And I'm trying to get, you know, people throughout the world to pay attention. But the bizarreness of a dream, why are they crazy? And I think that's because they don't operate on our relevance to time and space.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
like
true.
We go through the clock. I mean, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, it's 11 o'clock, and, you know, and like we like for things to line up like that. It makes our life easier. And also in space, that we are in a particular place. Like right now for the listeners, where you are is where you are in your mind.
Yeah.
But the dream doesn't care about that, does it?
No, that's true. It's a lot like the spirit world after death. You're not confined to a singular space.
No, and so here's what the dream can do because it's not confined to time and space is that it can bring all of that information, every experience of my life. I'd say it's our 24/7 inner therapist. It's been with us every moment of our whole life, knows everything we've done, said, and thought, and experienced, and felt, and it brings it all into a story.
Yeah, I like how you point out that you point out dogs having dreams. Dogs don't read any books, or they don't go to, well, they might go to dog obedience school, but they don't go to college or high school or anything.
Right.
And
well,
yet they seem to know how to get by.
Well, I think that when I first was introduced to this concept, I had a really hard time, you know, because I'd always been taught to prove, look it up, look in the encyclopedia, find it out, find the answers. And I was trying to resolve this. How can I know without reading or being taught? And then I woke up one morning to the sound of a bird chirping outside my window. I was at a conference, and I was really dealing with this issue. And I grew up with quite a respect for birds, and my father was ornithologist by avocation. So we have all this respect for their innate knowledge. You know, they know how to build their nests. They've never been to architecture school. They know how to raise their young, who to mate with, to navigate, you know, without a GPS they bought. And we believe that.
Yeah.
And then I lay there in bed that morning thinking, why would birds be given that ability and we as human beings weren't?
Yeah, we have to buy our GPS or at least use a map to get where we want to go. It's amazing how birds can go, you know, migrate to the south every winter and then come back to exactly where they want to be.
I know, and they know all this, and we do too. And the dream wants us to tap into that wisdom that we have as human beings.
Well, what if you keep having the same dream or a similar version of the same dream over and over? Does that mean I know for years, ever so often I have this dream that I'm back in college and facing a final exam, and I realize I haven't done any studying for that course and I'm not prepared, and I panic, and then I usually wake up. But I keep having this dream periodically. What does it mean when we have dreams over and over like that?
Right. These we call recurring dreams, and they aren't always exactly the same. Like, you may have had a different course. One day it may be a history exam. Another time you might dream it, and it might be a math exam, depending on what it's trying to tell you.
Yeah.
But this feeling of unpreparedness, I always say that I don't interpret other people's dreams, so I'm not going to tell you what that dream means for you, but I know what it means when I dream it, and it is one of those universal dream themes that people have over and over. But if you think about it, we definitely know how that feels in college to not be prepared for the final exam.
When we keep having the same dream, does that mean that we aren't paying attention to our dreams, and that's why the message keeps coming through?
Yes. Dreams are patient and persistent, and they do not give up on us. And if they have a message, which this dream would have a message, and we're not paying attention, the dream will come back, not always in exactly the same form, but it'll be like watching a movie, you know, with the same theme. I'm trying to get you to wake up and pay attention. And I would imagine, Roy, that those dreams come to you when you have something coming up, something that you need to prepare for. When I have these dreams, usually I will have a big address or a workshop or something coming up that I've been so busy I haven't taken time to stop to prepare for. I know I will, but I don't realize until I'm dreaming the dream that putting it on the back burner is really causing me as much anxiety as it is.
So, well, I'm glad to say I didn't have that dream last night, so that I was prepared for our talk today.
Yeah. The other thing, Roy, like recurring dreams are nightmares.
Yeah, I was going to ask about nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
We all, I'm afraid, have them, and that's something we'd like to forget, I guess. Do nightmares also come from God, or and do they have a useful message for us? And how in the world can a nightmare guide us to a healthy, joyful path in life?
Well, they do. And it's just the same message that comes every night. It's sort of revved up now because it's getting more important in our lives.
I see.
And so when I ask people in a large crowd, do you remember your dreams? A lot of people don't raise their hands. And then I say, how many of you remember a nightmare? And very seldom does not everyone raise their hand, because the emotional impact, that fear that comes through the nightmare, is memorable. So what nightmares come is to wake us up, and that's exactly what they do. They wake us up out of our sleep.
Yeah, they usually bring,
Yeah, so much emotional energy. Our heart may be pounding, we're sweating, you know, we're screaming, all of these things, but we don't forget it.
Yeah, and I can't remember any nightmares recently, but I can remember a lot of dreams that were unfortunate, and I call them bad dreams, and I really felt good when I woke up and realized that it wasn't really happening.
Well, the thing, I call them, instead of bad dreams, I say all dreams are good. It's bad dreamers, because we're not paying attention, and it's had to get to that intensity for us to pay attention. I think, you know, all of us, middle age or not, are asking for answers in our lives. And
for sure.
So we're praying for, you know, please help me, you know, some of us, you know, who, however you ask for that assistance in life. And I just get sort of tickled, because I think that for me it's God saying, you know, we talked about this last night, and as a matter of fact, we were talking about it last year and every night, and I've been giving you the messages, but you just sleep, you know, you're just tossing them aside.
Yeah.
You're not paying attention. So that's when a nightmare comes and goes, wham, pay attention.
Well, if you're having trouble interpreting a dream, you know, in a nutshell, can you, I know it's a whole course and you even have certification. I'd love to hear more about your dream synergy methods for recalling and interpreting dreams. And what is it designed to accomplish, and how could a listener get started in applying your method?
Okay, well, let's go to the how can a listener get started. And dream synergy is a type of dream work that I've developed to make it simpler for people. My big question was, I know that dreams are so impactful for people when they pay attention. So why are people not paying attention? And I think a lot of times people think it is a language they don't understand. It takes too much time. You know, it's beyond them. And so what I'm trying to do in my new book, Wake Up to Your Dreams, is to really guide people step by step from remembering to recording to understand the language of dreams and to use exercises for, you know, uncovering that meaning, simple things they can ask themselves when they wake up in the morning. And that I have the top 10 tips for remembering your dreams. They can actually, the listeners can go to my website, which is dreamsynergy.com, and that's dreamsynergy.com, and sign up for the top 10 tips for remembering their dreams. And they can, you know, all of this is in my book too, but that's a beginning, because until we remember our dreams, it's hard to interpret our dreams.
Yeah, so you know, when you think about it, you people invest thousands and thousands of dollars to learn more about themselves, and some even you know, maybe go to a professional for help, but if you could just, you know, why not try to uncover your own dreams? I mean, it's really, there's no cost to it, and, you know, just and not, what's more relaxing than, you know, going to sleep each night with the intent that you'll have some dreams that will tell you something. And maybe if you're a religious person, you pray for some guidance and some understanding in your dreams and in your sleep, and what a restful way to receive guidance for the future.
It really is true, Roy, and that's what I do. If I have something big on my mind as I'm going to sleep, I actually write down the question before I go to sleep. We call it dream incubation. Write down the question, and then what's something I want to know, and ask my dreams as I'm going to sleep to please address that. And for me, I had a big lesson in writing down the question, because I woke up one morning after I had thought of a really important question I wanted help with, woke up with an incredible dream, and then I couldn't remember what was the question.
Now I have here's the answer. What was the question?
What was the question? So I always write it down. I encourage. Yeah, you mentioned the word intention, intent to remember. And those are there are two words that I think people and listeners can claim for themselves when it comes to dreams right off, and it'll make a difference. And intention for remembering, intention for getting the message of their dreams. And just by them listening to this program today and not going away from it, that shows the psyche that there's interest here. And that opens up a lot. And then commitment. We have to do something. We have to be ready to capture the dream. The most important thing for me is having paper and pencil by my bed or under my pillow. And I don't turn on the light in the night, but I do scribble down things in the night, because as much as I love my dreams, I wake up and I think, oh, my gosh, I can't remember. That was an incredible dream.
Yeah,
and
you,
I have no recall.
Immediately while you're waking up, I remember so clearly, I've got to tell my wife about this, or I've got to think about this more. And then by the time I'm wide awake, the dream is gone and I can't remember. You know, so I think it's important probably to write it down as soon as you wake while you still have a remembrance of it.
Yes, while you have your eyes closed. And I encourage people to not hop out of bed so quickly, but to lie there and allow the dreams to come back.
Yeah,
and
that
even
sounds
if you
like
put
a
down,
good idea.
Yeah, one word, like there was a dog in your dream, just the word dog on your dream pad in the night might be enough to reel that dream back in. You get a vision of that dog. So I find you don't have to write down the whole dream, but just some of the words to bring the dream back to you.
Yeah, and then another key part of the process is so many people have dreams and maybe they recognize the dreams and what they mean, but then afterwards they don't take any action to implement the dreams. So maybe you need to pray further for further dreams so that you can see a plan of implementation, or you just have to get busy and start doing it. I don't know.
Absolutely. One of the main thing of my dream synergy approach and that the book wraps around is dreams plus action equals change.
Yeah.
Because my interest is in personal transformation and using dreams for that. In my past 25 years, thousands of people, I see what happens. But we get the dreams free every night. Like you, they don't cost us anything. They come during our sleep, so it doesn't take up more time.
No.
We're doing it anyway. But we have to take action by writing them down, recording them in a dream journal. I encourage everybody to get a dream journal to put their dreams in and treat them with respect. And then to begin talking and learning the language of the dream. And then the final action before change occurs is that we have to practice that new behavior. Whatever.
Yeah, that's
we
so
have
true.
To take the action step. People go, well, I did it. And I was like, so what action steps did you take in your waking life to help you move toward that transformation?
Yeah,
and that's
very true.
The last key.
Well, let's talk briefly about your brand-new book, Wake Up to Your Dreams, Transform Your Relationships, Career, and Health While You Sleep. How is the book organized? Is it, do you go into various steps, or how do you have that organized?
Yes. Well, this is one thing, as I said, that I really tried to do on this book, is simplify, and
That's
really
great.
Pare down this process of paying attention to dreams and understanding the meaning. So
yeah,
the first
book
thing,
is so much more worthwhile if it sticks to the practical applications rather than throw out a bunch of theories that maybe professionals will understand, but us laymen that want to use it, you'll get lost.
No, this is written for the layman. You don't have to know anything about dreams, but you also can have studied dreams like me and a lot of my colleagues for 25 years and find great new ways of understanding because of that simplification of the process, making it easier. So I put in here, I start out with why do we want to remember? I share a lot of my story, my life, and how dreams have influenced me and how they have totally changed my life and my direction of life that I wouldn't have imagined when I was younger, raising my children and being involved as a, wife and mother and volunteer. All of these things that I was doing, the dreams have given me the courage to tackle things and move and just so much in my life. And so I want people to see that in the book. So I do.
Yeah, I love that part where you had a dream, I guess back in the 90s, and you realized just how creative you were and all the talents you had that you could be utilizing to fulfill
even though I had majored in art, I had no idea of my creative ability. And I had no idea, I would have said I was never a writer. And now I enjoy it so much, but it was my dreams that first brought that to the forefront of that very hidden desire to share this information in a written form.
Well, where should we go to preview and purchase your book? What's the best place?
Well, you can go to any of the online, like Amazon, and get it there. They can go to my website, again, dreamsynergy.com, and, get my book that way. And I would really love to give the listeners a code for a discount on the book would like. So they could use the word radio, RADIO, and the number 2. And if they order it that way, I will actually autograph a copy and send it to them.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, you also, I know, have a big online Dream Synergy workshop coming up in September and October. How can listeners find out more about that?
Thank you so much. This is going to be great. This is sponsored by Gladwing, and people can find out about this again on my my webpage. And I am partnering with Robert Wagner, who is an expert in lucid dreaming, where we wake up and are aware in our dream that we're dreaming. And we just felt like we've always respected each other's work, that it'd be great to put these things together. So I'm introducing people to my Dream Synergy process. Step by step, we will be communicating. They can ask any questions. It'll be a four-week course. They can do it at their own time schedule. They will have access each week to some of the videos that we have made. And then they get all along to be able to communicate with us back and forth, asking questions and asking for support. It's a top-notch. The workshops that Gladwing produces, they're just great. So I really encourage people to look into that.
So they should go on your website to find out more about that, then. I know
yes.
I found it there.
And they could go to gladwing.com, too.
I
want to make
like...
sure. Sometimes people go, I couldn't find your website because I didn't know how to spell Dream Synergy. But it's basically Dream, D-R-E-A-M. And
I hope
Synergy.
They can spell that.
Yeah, S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y.
Yeah, they might have a little more trouble with that. I'm not a very good speller.
Maybe we could put something on your website. They probably know how to get to that. So,
yeah, well, we always have a connection on our program with your website so they can go right to it.
That would
so
be great.
So if you, press on the link there in the program description for today's program, and you'll get to Justina's website. And in conclusion, as I often mention this program, I spent 30 years of my adult life underutilizing my God-given talents, unfulfilled in my career, and struggling to make friends and build relationships. And I wonder how many dreams I ignored until I finally paid attention around the year 2000. And now I'm living the life I love. And what could be more satisfying in your life than truly listening to your dreams, paying attention, and then learning how to understand them and then taking action to fulfill them? And as Justina lastly summarizes in her book, wouldn't you like to successfully embrace the person you were born to be, find joy in life beyond your expectations, gain insight into yourself and achieve your greatest potential, clearly see your life's purpose and discover paths to achieving that, access the realms of spirit and soul similar to a near-death experience, and you even say that in your book that you can improve your sleep? And I think that's probably true. If you're dreaming deeply, you probably do sleep better.
Yes. I think sleep, people say, well, I don't want to remember my dreams because it'll keep me awake. And I go, well, you said you didn't sleep well anyway. And here your dreams are trying to solve the problems that you're lying there awake trying to solve.
Well, if you're skeptical, give dreams a try because, as we said before, it doesn't cost you a penny, and what do you have to lose? And I would certainly recommend you preview Justina Lastly's book, I know, Wake Up to Your Dreams. I know it costs a little, but think of the great benefits are so many times more than the cost, and I recommend that you preview that book. And thanks a lot, Justina Lastly, for being with us today. You've certainly opened my eyes to the potential power of dreams that I never realized existed, and I'm sure you did the listeners also. Thanks a million.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Well, you'll be bringing your mobile phone along on vacation this summer, but do you know how to use it? My next guest, tech expert Chet Davis, says you can use your smartphone as a digital assistant to ease travel strain and enhance your trip. And if you're like me, you may not have a clue on how to get the maximum use out of your mobile phone. And Chet Davis, for over 30 years, has been teaching folks like you and me in live workshops and online classes to succeed with technology. He reaches out online with his YourTechnologyTutor.com website, and he's made presentations at national and regional conferences and led hands-on video production workshops in 41 states and 3 Canadian provinces. And hello, Chet. It's great to have you here today on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Well, thank you, Roy. I appreciate the opportunity. It is an exciting topic, to be sure.
Yeah, well, let's say you're middle-aged, not high-tech, and up to now you've used your smartphone mostly to make and receive calls, maybe go on the Internet a few times and get text messages, perhaps use Facebook and Twitter. But what initial steps should you take to turn your phone into that digital travel assistant that you talk about?
Yeah, you got it. In fact, it's curious. The great majority of folks have only put, you know, a few apps on their smartphone, even though it's capable of a lot more. And I think that's the challenge is there it's almost too much, almost too many capabilities for us to kind of wrap our brain around. So
I brains like mine anyway. I'm sure yours can wrap around a lot more.
Well, the good news is I'm learning stuff every day as well. So I think part of it is opening ourselves up and say, you know, I don't have to know everything. If I just learn two or three new tricks, then I can make this more valuable. So I suggest splitting it up almost into three phases. The planning phase, you know, as you're planning your trip, are you going to use your – most people would use a desktop or laptop computer, but you can use your smartphone.
Yeah.
I think where it comes particularly valuable is as entertainment and as a tool to help you navigate while you're on the road, whether that road, you know, in a vehicle or in an airplane.
Yeah.
And then when you're there, when you're on vacation.
Yeah.
And I think one of the big values is you got to plan ahead a little bit. A lot of people are turning to podcasts or you know, internet radio shows or maybe downloading audiobooks, books on tape before you go on vacation.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is you can listen to that while you're sitting in the airplane, or maybe if you're not in the driver's seat, you're in the back seat or the passenger seat, you can be entertained on that six-hour car ride.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not driving and being entertained.
Exactly. Let's make that clear. Roy and I are not suggesting that you try to interact with your device while you're driving. That's for sure.
Multitasking is the way all the young people do it these days.
That's so true. Well, that's the problem is they think they are, and then we read about them in the newspaper, unfortunately.
Well,
right?
What are some of the travel apps that you would recommend we download to our smartphones, and where do we find them?
Yeah, good question. Well, a lot of people, depending if you're on the Android device or an iPhone, you go to the online store and download a book reader or a podcast app. In fact, most of the devices already have a podcast app. What you want to do is a couple weeks before your trip, go into the store by clicking on the podcast app and search for a particular, it might be the name of an author, or it might be a genre. Are you into mystery? Are you into Western novels? Or maybe it's crime drama, that kind of thing. But you can download a couple books on tape to keep you entertained.
Oh, I see.
If you're traveling internationally, if you're traveling even domestically on the airplane, one of my favorite apps is called TripCase, TripCase.
Ooh.
And it's a great way to collect all your itinerary, your airplane fares, maybe your rental car information, all the hotels, and it presents it in a way that you can easily keep it in one place. And my wife's the organizer in my family. I'll be the first to tell you, that's not my straight suit. But with this little app, I can keep it all together, and it's very, very handy.
Oh, that's great. What about these airline apps? There was an article in the Wall Street Journal on July 2nd that talked about some of the services available from the various airlines. I guess you'd probably want to download that if you were going on a particular airline.
Great question, Roy. In fact, yes, most of the major airlines have their own app. You know, Delta has its own, United, Southwest.
Yeah.
And in addition to the convenience, the nice thing is even while you're in flight, they allow you to turn it on in what we call airplane mode. So you're not making a call while you're in the air, but it still will give you relevant information about your gate arrival. Is your plane delayed? What about your next leg of the flight?
Yeah.
And some of them even offer free entertainment. So like the Southwest app I've used in flight, and there's videos and movies and music you can download. So it is very handy for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's say you plan to travel outside the U.S. How do you avoid those astronomical cellular bills while you're abroad?
Ooh, great question. And a lot of people get stung by that when you get home. That's the last thing you want. You're looking through your great photos and you get that cellular bill.
Yeah.
So there's three ways that I've used my phone when I travel internationally. And I've used my phone in Europe. I've used it in Costa Rica. And for a lot of people, if you're traveling with your family, a lot of people maybe don't need to make phone calls back home.
Yeah.
I recommend just going in airplane mode
and just
turning on Wi-Fi. So if you're at the resort, when you're at the airport or an internet cafe, you can still send email. You could even use the Skype app, for example, Skype, to do connecting back home, and it doesn't cost you a dime.
Yeah, so that's right.
For a lot of folks, that's the easiest. If you're going to be overseas for, you know, several weeks and you do need to connect back home, maybe with family or business, then I recommend calling your provider, whether it's Sprint or Verizon or AT&T, and asking about an international plan just for that 1 month.
Oh, I see.
They give you a specific rate for a specific country or group of countries so you don't get that sticker shock when you get back home.
Oh, that sounds great. I didn't even know about that. Well, let's say you have no firm vacation plans yet and you're still trying to lock in details. What are some of the best mobile apps for planning your next trip?
Great question. I like TripAdvisor. TripAdvisor is a website that a lot of people will go on and they'll post ratings of particular places. You can filter it out by, like, maybe you want to do national parks in the U.S., for example, or beachfront resorts. And it'll give you some ideas with pictures from the end users and also their frank and honest ratings about their experience. So there's so much information out there. We all know that. You know, even a hotel that when we arrive, we might be surprised that it's run down and it's dirty. but the website makes it look all pretty. So when you go to these review sites, you can kind of get ahead of the game and make sure that what you expect to be there is probably the experience you're going
to
get.
Yeah, and it's good to find that out in advance before you show up.
Indeed it is. Indeed.
The
other apps that I like a lot are if you're thinking about vacationing in the U.S., the U.S. National Parks have a series of apps on the National Parks. You can just go into the App Store and type in National Parks. And there's commercial apps, too, but just look for the free ones from the U.S. National Park Service, and they give you a whole bunch of information about each park. And you know, traveling to our national parks is one of the more affordable ways to vacation, and
yes,
we just really experience the richness of this great country we live in.
Yeah. Well, I know on your website you offer a series of short video lessons traveling with your iPhone. And how does somebody access that, find that on your website, or where do you go to get that?
Yeah, you bet. In fact, I would suggest probably the easiest way is go. I have set up a special website called Travel with iPhone. It's Travel Singular, travelwithiphone.com.
Oh.
And if you put in your first name and email address, you'll get my free monthly email newsletter talking about traveling both domestically and internationally. And there will also be information about this online class you can take that Roy mentioned, that you can learn how to use your smartphone even more successfully the next time you travel.
Yeah, I know in addition to vacation advice on your primary website, yourtechnologytutor.com, you offer a whole lot of technology tips for, as you put it, experts, authors, and entrepreneurs. And what are some of the resources available on your site?
Yeah, good question. There's a lot of short videos, somewhere in the name range of 3 to 7 minutes. I think sometimes people are looking for a quick answer, and they need somebody to show them how to do it instead of just jabber at them like I can do sometimes if I'm just typing away. So I demonstrate that. There's also little tips and articles, relevant information as it's coming out about new apps and new things we need to be aware of. I focus a lot on security and privacy as well.
I know you also, you can get your free newsletter off that site as well. I know there's...
Indeed. That's correct, yeah.
Access on there. Well, a lot of us at middle age grew up with phones that were designed used simply to call and talk, but we now have smartphones and tablets that we can use to plan out our vacations, make reservations, ease hassles, and maximize our enjoyment. And before I plan my next vacation, I definitely will check out Chet Davis's website, yourtechnologytutor.com. And what was that other website you mentioned, travelwithiphone.com?
Exactly. That's correct. Travelwithiphone.com.
Well, thank you so much, Chet, for joining us here today.
My pleasure, Roy.
And that's it for this week's program. Now let's all get away on vacation with a purpose this year, because we've earned it. Tune in next week for Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.